Welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. The 85th Annual Academy Awards are this Sunday, and today we'll preview the broadcast and make some predictions. From a movie about President Lincoln to a film about the death of Osama bin Laden, this year's features have certainly generated a lot of Oscar buzz and some controversy. With me in the studio is freelance film critic Melissa Starker. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you.
And also Columbus Underground film critic Hope Madden. Welcome, Hope.
Thanks for having me.
And I like to take these shows in the opposite way of the actual Oscar broadcast, so starting with Best Picture. So let's listen to a scene from Best Picture nominee Argo. This is a film about the escape of six Americans from Iran and is a good contender to win Best Picture. In this scene, a team from the CIA and the State Department, including Ben Affleck's character, Tony Mendez, are brainstorming ideas to get six Americans out of Iran.
What we like for this are bicycles. We've identified back roads from the Shemaran district, a couple of rat lines through the mountains
to the crossing near Tabriz.
Cars are off the table because of the roadblocks.
We wait till the weather clears up, then deliver the six bikes, provide them with maps to the Turkish border.
We have intelligence they can ride bicycles, or we're prepared to send in somebody to teach them.
Or you could just send in training wheels and meet them at the border with Gatorade. It's winter. You can't afford to wait around until spring, so it's nice enough to take a bike ride. The only way out of that city is the airport. You build new cover identities for him, you send in a Moses, he takes him out on a commercial flight.
So obviously bicycles is not the way they went, but that was an interesting scene, just shows how they come up with a lot of ideas and will any of them actually work. But the idea of filming a fake movie was not as out of this world as other things they came up with. So the Best Picture nominees, we should just run through the list, are Amour, Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. So lots of nominees there. But Hope, Argo has been kind of the one that has really stood out in this year's award season. Do you think it's going to win?
I do think it's going to win. And I think, although I think it's an excellent film, I enjoyed it very much. I think a lot of the fact that it's going to win is due to just spite. I think Oscar voters are so irritated that Ben Affleck got snubbed that they're making up for it, you know, and in the Screen Actors Guild Awards and in the Producers Guild Awards, a lot of those pools overlap with Oscar voters.
But the Oscar voters are the ones who snubbed him. I don't understand.
No, the directors snubbed him. Directors nominate, and then the whole pool gets to vote on the winner. So
I see.
The producers and the actors and the writers didn't snub him, and I think that they're annoyed with the directors.
So fellow directors snubbed him.
Maybe they didn't like him when he acted. I don't know. He seems like a very nice man. I don't know why they did. But
they're holding out a grudge for Daredevil or something like that.
So Melissa, do you think Argo is a front runner, or is it kind of tied with maybe one or two other films?
I still think that Lincoln has a shot, but I think with Argo, it's the fact that it has won so many awards already, the Golden Globe, the BAFTA, and that it's a great combination of dramatic and intense and also, you know, sort of light and funny, and that it's also an inside Hollywood story, mm-hmm. which the Academy likes very much. I do think it's a pretty good bet, yeah.
If you had to pick, say Argo just for some reason wasn't going to win just because maybe the votes end up getting split, what movie is maybe the very closest runner-up?
Yeah, I'd say Lincoln, probably. Lincoln.
I think
Do you
so,
agree
too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then let's talk about Lincoln for a second. Daniel Day-Lewis, he plays Abraham Lincoln, and in this scene, Abraham Lincoln is talking about equality, and Daniel Day-Lewis is a favorite as a Best Actor nominee for playing President Lincoln.
Euclid's first common notion is this: things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. That's a rule of mathematical reasoning. It's true because it works. Has done and always will do. In his book, Euclid says this is self-evident. You see, there it is, even in that 2,000-year-old book of mechanical law, it is a self-evident truth that things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other.
All right. And so, Hope, Melissa, do you both agree that Daniel Day-Lewis will probably win this category, Hope?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Can you run through the Best Actor nominees for me?
Sure. Bradley Cooper for Silver Linings Playbook. Daniel Day-Lewis, of course, for Lincoln. Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables. Joaquin Phoenix for The Master. And Denzel Washington for Flight.
And so Daniel Day-Lewis has been winning every award that there is. And is it even a competition?
I don't think it is. No, I don't think anybody else has a shot. In my heart, if I had the vote, although I have no qualms with Daniel Day-Lewis's performance in this or anything, he's right. An absolute genius, I would give the award to Joaquin Phoenix for The Master.
And a second on that. Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
So if Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't win, this would be the biggest crazy thing to happen, right?
Yeah.
Or supporting actress may be an even more solid lock. But the two of those two categories are there's not really any question, I think, at this point.
No, I don't think so. And I also think that you know, if Lincoln doesn't win Best Picture, it's looking pretty decent that Spielberg may pick up Best Director in that category.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurovich, and we are previewing the Academy Awards. The broadcast is this Sunday. And listeners, what movie or actor do you hope will win an Oscar this Sunday? Who do you think will win? Maybe who should win? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So if Daniel Day-Lewis is the shoe-in for the actor, let's talk leading actress for a second. Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty, Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook, Emmanuel Riva for Amour, Kwebenjine Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild, and Naomi Watts for Impossible. Is someone the front runner in this category?
I believe that Jennifer Lawrence is looking pretty good. It was sort of once the initial critics awards started coming out at the end of the year, it was sort of going back and forth between her and Jessica Chastain. But as the award season has progressed, it's definitely seemed more like she's getting Jennifer Lawrence is getting the recognition for Silver Linings Playbook, and the fact that it's gotten a nomination in every acting category, that particular film. I feel like it's inevitable that they're going to win at least one of them.
Right.
Now, two movies are making history in this category because at 85, veteran French actress Emmanuel Riva is the oldest nominee in her category in Academy history. And then Kwebenjine Wallace, she's the youngest Best Actress nominee. She's age 9, but she was age 6 when she actually filmed the movie,
yeah.
But she's age 9 now. There's a good story there. You don't think one of them might win?
Actually, I don't think that Kwebenjine Wallace has any shot, although I'm so pleased to see her in the pool because truly she was amazing. It's not just, look how adorable this little girl is. I mean, she shouldered that entire film. And
exactly.
She was stunning. I think that I think that Emmanuel Riva has a shot. I think... Although I thought Jessica Chastain and Jennifer Lawrence were, and you know, and Naomi Watts as well. I mean, they were really, really wonderful. I don't think any of them were anywhere near as good or as authentic or as just shattering as Emmanuel Riva was in Amour. And I think the group might be so sort of close in votes that it's possible, Oscar voters are old. And, and you know, like Silver Linings Playbook, Amour got a lot of nominations, and you know, which means that I think she's a dark horse. I'm not saying I think she's going to win, but I think she has a shot.
Well, let's talk about Amour for just a second, because this is a film of the whole list of nominees. This is the film that maybe most of our listeners probably haven't seen because it hasn't been in theaters. I mean, it is in theaters right now in Columbus,
right.
But it hasn't been for very long. Hope, can you tell us a little bit about what it's about?
Yeah, it's... Well, it's about an elderly married couple coping with one partner's stroke, to boil it down. But it is so different than anything that you might expect. Often in a film like that, you'll have a sort of heavy-handed score to push up the emotions. And in this one, the only time you hear music, she used to be a pianist and she's a piano teacher. And every once in a while, they'll put in a CD of classical piano or somebody will stop by. It's just so articulate and so... beautifully crafted, and the performances honestly could not be more authentic. They just couldn't. And I think also, you know, in American films in particular, you're used to something a little more over the top in a performance of somebody who's playing somebody who is ill or stricken or handicapped. And there's just none of it here. I mean, if you've, mm-hmm. you know, if you've seen someone suffering from these symptoms, you wouldn't think for a second that Emmanuel Riva was not suffering from these symptoms. It was really just a breathtaking and very different kind of film.
And we had Fran write in on Facebook, and she says that her choice for best female actor is Emmanuel Riva, hands down. So she obviously enjoyed the performance a lot. Melissa, I haven't seen this film, but I've read that it is difficult to watch.
It is. The fact that there isn't the comfort of a sentimental soundtrack, that it's very austere, that they are so authentic, Emmanuel Riva and Jean-Louis Trintignant, and that it really is a film that sort of swallows you, and it gives you just enough of a glimpse of the couple they were before her stroke, that it's devastating, and you know, it's kind of a film where it's. You want to recommend it, but you also want to sort of gird people for it. So, I do think it will see some Oscar love this Sunday, and it would be amazing to see her win. But I don't know if she's going to pick up this category.
And another film that maybe people have not seen is Beasts of the Southern Wild. And we were saying that Quvenzhané Wallace is the youngest nominee. I know that this film has a lot of nominations, actually. It probably won't win anything, though, right, Hope?
I don't think it will win anything, no.
But it only costs, I think it was like $1.5 million to make. It's a really small film. So were you happy to see such a small film get recognized?
I was. I really was. I think that the direction was magnificent. I wasn't as pleased because there are so many people, not just Ben Affleck, but so many of the best directors not nominated this year. I was a little less pleased to see him in there. But
he's nominated.
He is.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Where are the best director nominees?
Ben Zeitlin is his name.
Okay.
And he did a magnificent job, and the cinematographer did a magnificent job, and the performances, especially since none of them were professional actors, not just Quvenzhané Wallace, but the man who played her dad. I had it a second ago, and I can't think of his name. His name's Henry something. Wink. You know, it's really a phenomenal piece of filmmaking, and truly unique. Like, truly, which is not something that you find very often, a film that really doesn't remind you of any other movie.
And Melissa, I found it in a different way. The Beast of the Southern Wild was kind of difficult to watch. It's different than in the way a war would be.
Well, they're both kind of primal experiences, mm-hmm. They're so completely different in all other aspects. Amour, again, is very, very high-end craftsmanship, very clean, very austere, whereas Beasts of the Southern Wild is kind of a jumble, and it really sort of sticks you in the middle of things with the handheld camera work and lots of movement, and it's a really interesting year, I gotta say, for the nominations and for movies in general. It's pretty cool.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. And we are talking about the Oscars. We're previewing the Oscar broadcast. And listeners, what movie or actor do you hope will win the Oscar this Sunday? 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And in just a moment, we'll talk about some Oscar parties. You're listening to 89.7 NPR News.
Good morning, and thanks for listening to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Eric French. 46 degrees with a chance of shower today, dropping to 30 overnight.
Am I dead?
Everything's pretty black.
Am I dead?
Same as it has been last couple of weeks.
There's a real difference here. How would I know if I was dead?
This is a mistake. My family, my daughter, I do want to live.
What happens at the very moment when you slip from life to the other side?
And what happens after? Next time on Radiolab.
Join us for Radiolab tomorrow at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Metropolitan Club, presenting their weekly forum. This Wednesday at noon, it's Ohio State Budget New and Improved, a discussion with Ohio Budget Director Tim Keene and others about the state's finances. Tickets and more information at columbusmetroclub.org.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News, and I'm Amy Jurevich. The Oscars are this Sunday. Lincoln tops the list with 12 nominations. The epic story of a shipwrecked young man sharing a lifeboat with a tiger, Life of Pi, follows with 11 nominations. And the musical movie Les Miserables, the romantic comedy Silver Linings Playbook, and the thriller drama about Americans trapped in Iran, Argo, also received a significant number of nominations this year. Listeners, what movie or actor do you hope takes the top prize? 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Still with me are film critics Hope Madden and Melissa Starker. And joining us now to talk about another big part of Oscar night, Oscar parties, is Patrick Losey. He's the sales and marketing manager at the Gateway Film Center. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thanks, Amy.
So the Gateway is having an Academy Awards pre-party. So tell us a little bit about this party.
We are. This is really an opportunity to celebrate the festivity of the Academy Awards. So just as much as it is obviously about recognizing the films themselves, it's about recognizing the entire industry, the big glitz and glamour part of it. And so we're trying to bring a little bit of that to Columbus. And so beginning at 6 p.m., we're going to host an Academy Awards pre-party. It's a big event to be able to come and essentially talk about, I think this is going to win. We're going to do this. It's exactly what we're doing today. So it's an opportunity to get together with other film lovers and really appreciate some of these terrific nominations and then do a little bit of, no, I think this is going to happen. Well, maybe we'll see when this happens for Argo. To be able to mingle with other film lovers in a great environment, really celebrate the entire event and then go from there.
And so the idea of having the pre-party, is everyone going to kind of make their predictions, get a little dressed up and trying to get ready for the broadcast?
Absolutely. We try and bring a little bit of that Hollywood glamour here. So we're doing catering from Cameron Mitchell. We're doing, you know, not quite as fancy, but popcorn, because you can't go to a cinematic experience without popcorn. But it's all a part of that. The drinks included, those sorts of things. A big cash bar, and it's a way to bring the Oscars here. So yes, absolutely, we're bringing the red carpet in, we're going to have the photo booth, all of those opportunities, and then you can also fill out a ballot for your Oscar predictions, and whoever gets closest wins a year's worth of movie tickets. So
Ooh. An
opportunity to try and sort of flex the cinema muscles and say, I've got this figured out. You know, we did the Oscar shorts, and mm-hmm. so that was one of those. Come here, make sure that you see it, and have that little edge when you're in the Oscar pool. So that's all part.
You've been showing the Oscar short nominees because it's something that maybe people have not had a chance to see unless you kind of string them all together and make it kind of an evening event, right?
Right, and they're terrific programs. They're actually broken out into three different features. There's a documentary feature, there's the live action, and there's the animation. And all three really, really terrific. But as you said, they're just not things that you see commonly. They're not films that people are in front of. They're not usually that available, but terrific things. And we were really, really happy to have them again for another year.
And sometimes Oscar films are obscure movies that few people have seen, and sometimes they're big hits. So how have the Oscar films been received over the past few months or year or so at the Gateway?
This year's been really interesting. It's been a terrific response to the point that we've actually brought some of those films back. Argo is a terrific example, where Argo opened in October, and so we actually held October for quite a while. Argo continued through mid-December, and then all of a sudden when it went from, all right, so Zero Dark Thirty is your best picture, and that's going to be the clear winner, and then that started to fade. And so we brought Argo back in early January and actually held on to it for another month. And after taking a little bit of a break, that interest was almost stronger even then, as opposed to when it opened in October. Argo really opened a little bit soft and was slowly picking up some word-of-mouth interest. But by the time that January came around and got the Oscar buzz, that was huge for us. We had the same thing with Django, where big Christmas release, and we continued to hold it and hold it and hold it. And really, we probably still would if it wasn't for the fact that eventually you want to show something new. So Django was the same way. Lincoln was the same way. Silver Linings came out November 16th. We're still playing it. It's still getting a huge response. It's a terrific film, and people are, to this day, you think eventually we're going to run out of people to screen this film to. But up until this weekend, we'll continue to show it because there's still a huge interest in seeing these films.
So you must be, as someone who works for a movie theater, you must be happy that they expanded the Best Picture nominees. There's 9 nominees, so you have many more movies to, you know, keep people coming to the theaters because they want to see them all, right?
It is. It's a great opportunity for us. Personally, I have those mixed feelings of, well, it sort of dilutes the pool, but at the same time, these are all absolutely terrific Best Picture nominees. And so for us at the Film Center, it's a great way to be able to showcase some of these films and have a reason to bring them back or to hold them for a little bit longer. Films like Les Mis without the Best Picture nomination might not have stuck around quite as long, but because of it, we were able to hold that film for almost 2 months and continue to give people an opportunity to see a terrific picture. Same thing with Argo, same thing with Silver Linings. And so that in the expansion has really benefited us as far as being able to push the programming a little bit further than we might otherwise.
Well, Patrick, as someone who loves movies, what film do you want to win Best Picture?
I love Silver Linings Playbook. I've continually gone back to that film. The first time I saw it, I was impressed, and it was not what I expected. I was not 100% sold on the film walking into it, left, and could not believe how much I enjoyed it, and have gone back and seen it a couple other times. I don't think that's the winner. I still lean towards Argo. I think this is the time where they recognize Ben Affleck and say, hey, sorry about all those snubs, but I would love to see Silver Linings take it home. I don't really see that happening.
All right. Well, Patrick Losey, he's the sales and marketing manager of the Gateway Film Center, and they're having a pre-Oscar party. More information at gatewayfilmcenter.com, right?
Correct.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Patrick.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you. And so still with us in the studio here is Hope Madden. She's the film critic for Columbus Underground, and freelance film critic Melissa Starker. And Patrick from the Gateway Film Center, he mentioned Silver Linings Playbook. One of the best things about that movie is its rhythm. The timing of the dialogue and editing is just right. And this scene is a great example of that.
Why did you order raisin bread?
Why did you order tea?
Because you ordered raisin bread.
I ordered raisin bran because I didn't want there to be any mistaking it for a date.
It can still be a date if you order raisin bran.
It's not a date. So how's your thing going? The dancing thing?
That's good. How's your restraining order?
I wouldn't actually call the restraining order my thing, but getting back with Nikki is, and I think I'm doing pretty well. Except for a minor incident with the doctor's office.
And the so-called incident with the weights.
Yeah.
So that's a great example of just the dialogue in Silver Linings Playbook. And Silver Linings Playbook has nominees in all the big categories. Best Picture, Actor, Actress, Supporting Actor, Supporting Actress, Director. Is this the sign that the film is going to win a lot of awards, or just that the Academy really liked it? Hope, what do you think?
I don't think it's going to win a lot of awards. I think it'll probably pick up some stuff. But, it's a hard movie not to like. I think Patrick is right. I saw it 4 times in the theater. Not all voluntarily. Wow. I had people come in for Christmas, and that's what they all wanted to go see. But I always went along because it's true. It's a movie you can just watch and rewatch and rewatch and pick something else up every time. And you know, one of the things I loved about it the most was the use of a soundtrack. I can't remember the last time I saw a non-Tarantino film use a soundtrack, use pop music as well as this movie did.
It's true.
Do you want to add anything about so? Well, let's talk about the director of Silver Linings Playbook, because I think, didn't you mention earlier he might like that might be a contender?
It's possible. David O. Russell is a really interesting guy. He's made some very good films. Three Kings, I Heart Huckabees, Flirting with Disaster. I thought Patrick brought up a really good point in that he was sort of reluctant to see it at first, and I think this film is getting a lot of that because of Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. People are like, I don't want to see that Hangover guy, you know, do something like this. But he's actually really effective.
He's not the Hangover guy.
He's not the Hangover guy in this. And I would say that much more likely it'll see some love in the Best Actress category. There's a possibility for Robert De Niro with Best Supporting Actor, although I feel like that has a lot to do with the fact that he just hasn't been doing much in the way of really meaty, good roles lately. It's just people are so excited to see him in something decent and see him be really good in it that they're just all excited. But I do also think it has a shot in Best Adapted Screenplay as well. I think between that and Argo, probably.
And we have Emma on the line from Columbus. Emma, you also like Silver Linings Playbook?
I did. I'm such a big fan of that movie. And like Patrick from the Gateway was saying, I've gone back and rewatched it And it's just gotten so much better every time I rewatch it. So I'm definitely in his category of, I'm really hoping, you know, I'm pretty sure it's probably not going to pull the best picture, but man, I'd love to see some of those actors and actresses, you know, awarded for what I thought were pretty spectacular performances.
Of actor, actress, supporting actor and supporting actress, who would you like to see? Is Jennifer Lawrence on the top of the list for you?
I thought she was really good. And to be honest, I'd love to see Bradley Cooper take it. I know it's probably not going to happen with Lincoln and Daniel Day-Lewis, but he, again, because everyone was so convinced, you know, oh, it's Bradley Cooper from The Hangover and A-Team, but he did such a fantastic job. I was really, the more I watch it, I'm more wowed by his performance. And I think for really showing his breadth of an actor, I'd love to see him rewarded for it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that call, Emma.
Absolutely.
Thanks. And in the actor category, which we were talking about earlier in the show, if you took Daniel Day-Lewis out of the category and he wasn't being Lincoln this year, I think it would probably be a pretty close race between the other four, right? In the other four nominees. Do you agree, Melissa?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, they're you know, I didn't necessarily think Flight was the best movie, but Denzel Washington was amazing in it. And Hope and I have already, you know, pledged our allegiance to Joaquin Phoenix. And you know, again, Les Mis, also not necessarily my favorite movie, but Hugh Jackman was pretty effective. And, you know, obviously the same for the front runner in supporting actress category, Anne Hathaway. So...
Yeah, Hugh Jackman was on, I think it was The Late Show with David Letterman. He came on sometime in the past week dressed as Lincoln because he thought that would help him get some last minute votes for the Oscars. So at least he's having good fun with it. You know, the actors know who's going to probably win, right?
Oh, I would think so. Bradley Cooper was on. Zach Galifianakis has the online show Between Two Ferns, and Bradley Cooper was on it. And Zach Galifianakis had written his acceptance speech, which was, yes, you're correct. Daniel Day-Lewis was much better than I was. He was just so great. And maybe someday I can be as good. And maybe he'll teach me acting. It was very, very funny. So, yeah, I think that they're all pretty well aware.
But it's just the fun. You get to be nominated. You get to come and get, you know,
well,
get your
moment.
I think
that's especially exciting for Bradley Cooper. Right. I mean, of this list of people, he had to be like, oh, my God.
To be on a list with these names,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because he's the Hangover guy,
right.
And now he's on a list with Daniel Day-Lewis, and well, yeah,
and he produced the film. I'm pretty sure. So, was one of the producers on the film. So it's got to be kind of a feather in his cap overall,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not as if he's here undeservedly. It really was, as mm-hmm. Emma said, it was a fantastic performance and just mm-hmm. so unexpected. But you know, he was wonderful in that film. He was just pitch perfect in that film.
Yeah. And you're listening to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the 85th Annual Academy Awards. And listeners, if you have any questions about the broadcast on Sunday or want to tell us what actor or movie you hope wins, 614-292-8513 or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. We did get an email from Chris, and it's kind of related to what we were talking about. He asks, what about The Sessions, a wonderful film that was largely overlooked? Helen Hunt is nominated for Best Supporting Actress. She's actually the leading actress in the film, according to Chris. And then John Hawkes was ignored. He didn't get a Best Actor nomination. A beautiful and moving movie. We talked about that when we had our Oscar snub show, that The Sessions really was a snub. You're both shaking your head. Hope,
yeah.
Do you want to? Yeah,
it was a lovely film. It was a very nice movie, and Helen Hunt was really wonderful, and she just got the notice that she does deserve. Although I agree, I mean, if she wasn't the lead actress, I don't know who was.
I don't think there was one.
No.
Yeah.
So it's just lead. It's a lead. Like John Hawkes is the lead, and then everyone else is supporting him. Yeah.
But. He was, to me, the most obvious snub in all across acting. He was just, and he always is. I mean, he's probably one of the most reliable character actors working today. He's just wonderful in everything. He changes so dramatically from one film to the other. He has just a tremendous, powerful talent, and it was just on display in this film. He was so wonderful, I agree wholeheartedly that he should have gotten a Best Actor.
Maybe his spot went to Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, maybe so. And also,
or Hugh Jackman or Denzel Washington. I don't think any of the three of those were sort of necessarily the front runners at the time.
And with Helen Hunt, it's possible that the studio behind the film realized that, you know, they had a better shot of getting her in a supporting actress nomination than a Best Actress nomination. So that's what they really targeted their Oscar campaign on.
Well, let's talk about supporting actress for a minute. If any category seems to be locked for a winner, Best Supporting Actress, everyone thinks Anne Hathaway is going to win for her role in Les Mis. And I'm sure that all of our listeners at some point have heard a clip, at least, of Anne Hathaway singing I Dreamed a Dream. So this is a different clip from Les Mis.
Yes, it's true. There's a child, and the child is my daughter. And her father abandoned us, leaving us flat. Now she lives with an innkeeper man and his wife, and I pay for the child. What's the matter with that?
At the end of the day, she'll be nothing but trouble. And there's trouble for all, and there's trouble for one. While we're earning our daily bread, she's the one with her hand in the butter. You must send the sons away, or we're all going to end in the gutter. And it's all still after.
So Anne Hathaway's been winning everything. Melissa, do you want to run through the other nominees for Best Supporting Actress for us real quick?
Sure. In addition to Anne Hathaway, there's Amy Adams for The Master, Sally Field for Lincoln, Helen Hunt for The Sessions, and Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook.
All great performances.
Yeah.
But Anne Hathaway's been winning everything.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it would be great to have a reprise of You Like Me, You Really Like Me from Sally Field if she won for Lincoln. And I think she's probably your second best bet. But yeah, like I said, Les Mis is not necessarily one of my favorite movies, but she was really powerful in it. Very authentic in a situation that did not lend itself well to authenticity.
There's always, in the Oscar broadcast, there's always one surprise, like at least one that no one expected. Do you think that this would be the surprise if Anne Hathaway doesn't win?
It would be a huge surprise if Anne Hathaway doesn't win, but I don't think that's where it will come from. I think if there's a surprise, it'll be actress.
Okay. And so if you were giving the Best Actress or Best Supporting Actress award from the list that Melissa just read, would you give it to Anne Hathaway? Or I know that Les Mis wasn't your favorite movie either.
Actually, I wasn't excited to see it. I did enjoy it. I thought it was a really well-crafted, well-done film, and some really brilliant artistic decisions went into that film. And I would give it to Anne Hathaway. Amy Adams is a close second for me, but of all of the performances there, if you take one person out of the film and see if you can replace them with somebody else, have the film be as good, Anne Hathaway is the one you can't replace.
Mm, yeah. That's a good way to think of it. And then Jackie Weaver in Silver Linings Playbook, she played an interesting character because she plays the mom of the family, and just some of her lines were so funny, but also just so sweet. But then she's also the grounded one. I thought it was a good performance.
Yeah, and this is like her second nomination, and most people have never heard of her, but she's just Australian actress, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Right, and she gets the Boston accent and Philly accent. Philly accent. And the Australian accent is gone, and she gets that perfectly.
Yeah, she was really terrific. Again, part of the charm of that movie is just how good the performances were across the board.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. We'll talk more about Oscar predictions, and we'll preview another Oscar party in just a moment. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. Good morning, I'm Eric French. 46 degrees for the high today. Maybe melt away some of that ice, and then it'll drop to 30 again overnight.
Sir, what was the last movie you produced?
High and Dry.
Who paid for that?
CFDC.
What's your middle name?
Leon?
Shoot him. He's an American spy.
Argo is nominated for 7 Oscars. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from the director, Ben Affleck, and from Bradley Cooper, the star of Silver Linings Playbook, which is nominated for 8 Oscars. Join us.
And that's coming up at noon on 89.7 NPR News, right after our Oscars show. Your WOSU Public Media member card benefits are now even better with the member card benefit of the month. Each month, you can show your member card at selected partners for extra discounts. The WOSU member card benefit of the month for February is the Columbus Museum of Art. You can enjoy 2-for-1 admission all month long. Support 89.7 NPR News at the $85 level and receive the WOSU member card as your gift. Just visit us online at WOSU.org. And thanks for your support. And support for 89.7 comes from Clintonville Academy, college prep education for pre-kindergarten through 8th grades. The Clintonville Academy celebrates 35 years and now participates in the Ed Choice program for fall 2013. The CA Winter Open House is Sunday, February 24th from 2 to 4 p.m. Details at ClintonvilleAcademy.org.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News, and I'm Amy Jurovich. Listeners, what movie or actor do you hope takes the top prize at the Oscars this Sunday? 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And joining us now to talk about the fun of an Oscar party is the Drexel Theater Artistic Director, Jeff Frank. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning.
Your theater is hosting its 16th annual Drexel Red Carpet Bash, where Columbus movie fans can walk the red carpet and watch the Oscars with other movie lovers. Can you tell us a little bit more about this event?
Well, we're going to have, of course, a red carpet out in front of the Drexel Theater. We'll be having rabid movie fans, all kinds of paparazzi. We'll have a Joan Rivers impersonator. So when you arrive, you sort of feel like you're at the Academy Awards. We're going to have food from about 10 Bexley area restaurants, including Giuseppe's and The Top and Barrel 44 and a host of other restaurants. So free hors d'oeuvres, the entire Oscar pre-show and the official Oscar ceremony up live on the big screen, plus hundreds of prizes, costume contests, all sorts of fun things going on.
So this is your 16th time doing this, so obviously people love it. Do they come dressed up, or do they come dressed as actors and actresses?
Well, a lot of people just wear their sort of best Hollywood glitzy attire. Some people do. We encourage people to dress up as nominated films or stars. So we expect to see a lot of Abe Lincolns this year, I'm sure. And you never know. We get all kinds of crazy costumes, and we encourage people to come dressed up or down so you can, you know, do something kind of out of the ordinary or wacky, or just get wear your very best things, or you can come casual. So it's up to the individual.
I'll come dressed more comfortably. I'll come dressed as Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook whenever she's free.
Or Mrs. Lincoln.
That would not be comfortable.
You have a hoop skirt.
So one of the Oscar-nominated films that a lot of people are talking about but few people have seen is Amour. This is a movie that is about an older couple and their life after the wife in the film has a stroke. And I'm told this movie is difficult to watch. You are currently showing it at the Drexel. What has the reaction been to this movie for Drexel audiences?
Well, it's a hard sell to get people to come and see because of the subject matter. It's about death. But it's such a beautiful film. The cinematography is just outstanding. And once you get in there and see it, the performances are so riveting that it just takes over and people really enjoy it. Of course, it's up for 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress. So we've got our fingers crossed. We're hoping that it wins a couple of awards. It would be great.
And how have overall, there's 9 Best Picture nominees, and then I know the Drexel tries to show some of the films that maybe, other theaters are not showing. How have some of the Oscar movies been received at the Drexel?
This is like the Super Bowl for movies. There's just a lot of interest in films. I know we were bringing back Silver Linings Playbook this week. That's been a great performer for us. So we expect that to do a lot of people to come back and check it out if they haven't seen it just before the awards this Sunday. So, but in general, when films get nominated for Best Picture, there's a lot more interest.
And so, Jeff, you're a movie fan, obviously. What film do you think will win Best Picture?
I think it's good. I think it's the year for Argo and Ben Affleck. I think they're going to win it. He's going to win it, and I think that film deserves it too. So that's my pick. Most of the other awards, except for Best Actor, I think are pretty much up in the air. I think if you're nominated for Best Actor, and you're not Daniel Day-Lewis, you're probably not even going to write a speech this year.
And is there someone you want to see win Best Actress?
I think Emmanuel Riva would be wonderful if she won. Now, she's 85, and this would be just, you know, a wonderful cap on her amazing career. So we're hoping that she wins it.
All right. And so you're hosting your 16th annual Drexel Red Carpet Bash this Sunday with a pre-show, and everyone can stick around and watch the Oscars there at the Drexel. Give me your website again for some more information.
Yeah, you can go to drexel.net or call 614-231-1050. We just have a few tickets left right now, so we're hoping it's a sellout. So if you want to come, get your tickets pretty quickly.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And we'll put that website on our website, wosu.org/allsides. That's Jeff Frank. He's the artistic director at the Drexel Theater. Thank you.
Thanks.
And still with us is Columbus Underground film critic Hope Madden. Thanks for being here, Hope.
Thanks for having me.
And also freelance film critic Melissa Starker. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
And Jeff mentioned briefly, you know, that this is the Super Bowl for the movies. And I was reading Oscar commercials this year for, I think it's ABC, Oscar commercials cost almost as much as Super Bowl commercials. It's the highest cost for an ad during the Oscars since 2008. So it is a big deal. Are the Oscars, you know, becoming more of a big deal than they have been in recent years?
You know, I think a lot of times it just depends on the nominees. You know, a couple of years ago, actually, it was, I thought, a brilliant suite of nominees a few years ago, but people complained because they were all independent films that nobody had seen. So nobody tuned in. Or, you know, then the hosts are old and nobody is tuning in. So I think mm-hmm. that it's a good mix of a hip host and just a wide variety of film and film types. And then the whole Ben Affleck thing, I think people are excited about. So
absolutely. It's definitely a something for everyone kind of year. You know, I mean, Life of Pi is for your more fantasy, eye candy kind of stuff. And Lincoln, you get your serious American drama. The more, it's always nice to see a foreign language film be recognized in the Best Picture category.
And Quentin Tarantino fans have something too.
Of course, yeah. And, you know, so.
And his acceptance speeches are always fun and really tune in. So.
Yeah. So it's Seth MacFarlane, I mean, the fact that they actually made the nominations announcement entertaining, which it never is because it's 5:30 in the morning in California when they're doing it and everybody's half asleep. But that was a good sign, I thought.
And Oscar night is traditionally there's some shocking results. There's some big upsets. But what are the chances that Seth MacFarlane, who is the host, is the biggest wild card of the night? What do you think, Melissa?
Oh, I think that's very, very possible. I mean, I think that's probably part of why they hired him. I think they'll probably try and rein him in a touch in advance before they go live. They're probably looking at the Ricky Gervais Golden Globes thing and saying, yeah, we don't want that.
All right. So let's talk about a few categories. You know, we've spent a lot of time on the big categories that everyone waits for. But how about animated feature film? The nominees are Brave, Frankenweenie, Paranorman, The Pirates, Band of Misfits, and Wreck-It Ralph. What do you think? Is Brave going to win because it's Pixar?
Well, actually, there's a lot of heat behind Wreck-It Ralph right now, which is it's not Pixar, but it is Disney, and you know, it's got a nostalgia factor. It's also it's a really well crafted film. I personally would like to see Brave win because I'm a sucker for Pixar, and it just has that emotional element that a lot of animated films don't have. But I'd say it's between the two of them, and Wreck-It Ralph is at this point looking like the front runner.
Hope, do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. And Wreck-It Ralph is an interesting movie, and it's unique, and I think that Oscar voters really like that in animated film, which is one of the reasons why Pixar usually wins, because mm-hmm. their films aren't based on anything you've seen before, and they don't remind you of anything you've seen before. And of their films, Brave is the most likely to seem derivative because it's a princess. And I think a lot of people who wanted a princess film from Pixar don't like this one because she's not princessy. And people who liked that Pixar didn't ever do a princess film are irritated that they finally did one. I think it's by far the best film on this list, by far. I think it was really a wonderful piece of filmmaking. But I do think that Wreck-It Ralph might edge it out this year.
And I know that whenever we were talking about the Oscar nominees coming out, that everyone had hoped that the James Bond movie Skyfall would have gotten a nomination. And it's the Oscar ceremony is going to include a tribute to the 50th anniversary of the James Bond franchise. So Skyfall is nominated for cinematography, which is maybe a category a lot of people don't understand. But could it win? Melissa?
It's possible. I mean, I would say probably Life of Pi is the.
Can you explain cinematography a little bit?
Well, basically, the director has a vision and the cinematographer realizes it on a technical level. There's sort of a second pair of eyes and making sure that the lighting is correct, that they're using the proper lenses and things like that. And with cinematography for Skyfall, it was just so impressively epic. But with Life of Pi, I mean, there were things that you had never seen on film before, and it was a source book that a lot of people said was unfilmable, and it was just, I mean, it was such rich and expensive eye candy that, you know, even if you weren't, you know, but regardless of how you felt about the rest of the movie, you were just like, oh my God, this is gorgeous. But I do think Adele is probably a good shot for best original song.
Skyfall wins something, right?
Yeah.
because they picked Adele. So that's for that's jumping to original song, right?
Yeah.
Well, and there's also for original song, there's an original song that was written for Les Mis, and is that maybe one of the few awards Les Mis might win? What do you think, Hope?
No, I think Adele is pretty much a lock. Because first of all, it really is a great song.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect match for the tone that the last James Bond film took, which is a little retro but still very hip. Yeah, I think that she's pretty much a lock. I'm just really happy that Katy Perry didn't get a nomination because she could have.
For which movie? I don't remember.
She has a movie, 3D movie concert film that came out this year, and there was a song, which I'm not even going to pretend I know what it is, but I know that I've heard it too many times, and it was eligible.
And so let's just we have a few minutes left, so we can talk about some of the other you know, smaller, lesser known categories, but we can talk about foreign language film because Amour, which is also nominated for Best Picture, and we've been talking about it, is nominated for Best Foreign Language Film. And, you know, everywhere you read that it's not going to win Best Picture, but it'll win in this category, obviously. So is that unusual that it's nominated in the two areas, Melissa?
It happens occasionally. I believe Pedro Almodovar was the last filmmaker who got a nomination in both categories and did not win Best Picture but did win Foreign Language Film. It's always a little weird because in a lot of cases, the foreign language films that are up for nominations have not made it out to the American public, or at mm-hmm. least not in any kind of grand way. I know Royal Affair was out, but No is just making its way into theaters now. So it's always kind of hard to make a judgment call on that. But in this case, it's just so clear because Amour has gotten so many nominations.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it's funny because I remember the one Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was nominated for both when it came out, and it was the one that I was really hoping would win Best Picture, but you knew it had no shot because they were just going to, you know, it was like such a sort of gift that it got nominated for Best Picture, but it was going to get this other one, so that's just how it's going to be. The same thing when something is nominated for Best Picture and Best Animated Film, and he's got no shot. Right. Toy Story 3, I think, was by far the best film that came out that year, but it was had no shot of winning Best Picture, but it got a nomination, so that was nice, but I definitely think having both kind of guarantees a Best Foreign Language Award.
Okay. And Melissa, why don't you, can you pick a category that is kind of, I'm going to just call it a random category that's one of your favorites. Do you have a, just as a movie lover, do you like, like sound editing or film editing? Or?
Well, I do kind of like that there's some love in some of the technical categories like cinematography and costume for a movie that I felt was kind of overlooked, and I really, really enjoyed it, Anna Karenina, the Joe Wright film with Keira Knightley. It's just, you know, it was just a really inventive and fresh adaptation of a classic novel. So, you know, and I do think it actually has a shot of winning, you know, in the costume category, although that's surprisingly a pretty tight category. There's a lot of, if you pay any attention to costuming at all, I mean, Colleen Atwood's in it and Aiko Ishioka. These are some pretty serious names. But
for costume design, it's Anna Karenina, Les Mis, Lincoln, Mirror Mirror, and Snow White and the Huntsman. So two Snow White picks. But I mean, without the costumes, both Lincoln and Les Mis would just not be the same.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to say. But then with Mirror Mirror, it's like it was a cute movie. It was, you know, it was fun. But the costumes were amazing. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of nice when they get to spread the love a little bit. But an interesting category actually to talk about this year is documentary feature, because they made some changes in how that how the winner is going to be determined for that.
Yes, I promised to talk about documentary feature and I completely forgot. I'm sorry. So there's five nominees: Five Broken Cameras, The Gatekeepers, How to Survive a Plague, The Invisible War, and Searching for Sugar Man. Do you want to? We only have a couple minutes left, so just briefly, what's the best movie there?
Actually, I have not seen all of them, but they changed the voting so that basically everyone can vote on it, not just people who attend certain screenings. And the Academy on their own dime sent out screeners of all of the five nominees. And as a result of that, a lot of people are saying that maybe the more populist film of the bunch, which would be Searching for Sugar Man, a music documentary, is looking pretty solid. But How to Survive a Plague, which is about the early days of the AIDS crisis, is just so powerful. And whether or not it wins, people should see it.
And Hope, what's one of your favorite random categories?
Oh, I don't know if they're random, but the two writing categories are my favorite overall. They're the ones. I always think that the people who win the best screenplay, that's usually the movie that should have won the best picture but didn't.
Yes.
Okay, so who do you think will win best screenplay?
It's actually, so it's adapted and original, and this year the originals are so great, except for Flight, which I think is not a very well-written film, but it was a really great performance. But Moonrise Kingdom is awesome. Zero Dark Thirty is awesome. Amour is awesome. And Django Unchained. I mean, just screenplays alone, they're books you would want to read. They're just amazingly, impeccably written movies. And I think Zero Dark Thirty will probably win, and I'm fine with that, because I think in my heart it's a four-way tie for those. But I would kind of love to see Moonrise Kingdom win, because it was so under-nominated and so well-written.
Absolutely. Plus one on that.
Plus one on that. All right. So we're down to the last minute, so we're going to have to leave it there. But the Oscars are this Sunday. And thanks to Columbus Underground film critic Hope Madden. Thanks for being here, Hope.
Thanks for having me. If I could do a quick plug, the Drexel Red Carpet Bash, my husband George Wolfe is one of the MCs. So go.
And for more reviews from Hope Madden, you can visit madwolf.com. That's MADDWOLF.com. And also thanks to freelance film critic Melissa Starker. Thanks.
Thank you.
And thank you to Eric French for directing us today. This is listener supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus. Streaming on the web at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.